Good morning. It's 7:51. This is the Wake Up Call, 9 minutes before 8. For WBAA News, I'm Chris Morisi-Vitsa. This is our opportunity to talk to newsmakers about significant issues affecting residents in West Central Indiana. This morning, my guest is Republican State Senator Brant Hirschman of Tippecanoe County. Good morning, Senator Hirschman. Thank you for waking up with us today.
Hey, good morning, Chris. Happy to do so.
I appreciate it. I know you're commuting. You said you're commuting between the statehouse in these final 2 weeks between home and the statehouse. So it's a busy time. We've asked you to talk this morning about the House-Senate joint resolution, the proposal for Hoosiers to vote next year and choose whether to add a balanced budget requirement to the state constitution. So first off, what exactly would happen with this?
It's a great question, Chris, and it's an issue that has kind of flown below the radar screen, and I think that's probably a function of the fact that Indiana has exerted a great deal of fiscal discipline in recent years, and we've benefited because of it, but it hasn't always been that way. Many people believe that we have a current constitutional requirement for a balanced budget, and that's not exactly true. We have some language that dates back to the 1850s, after the failure of the Wabash and Erie Canal almost drove Indiana to bankruptcy. But the current language only prohibits capital debt, that is, for projects. And obviously, we do incur debt for projects, so we've found a workaround around that over the years. There is no provision to require us to have a structurally balanced budget. That is, not spending more than we take in a normal budget cycle. And Indiana is one of the few states that does not have such a requirement in the Constitution. However, ironically, Indiana is one of the few states that has at least recently had a balanced budget. The greatest example of getting around a balanced budget amendment is Illinois, who does have a constitutional amendment, but they have gotten around that by defining loan proceeds as revenue. So it's kind of nice when you can charge up your credit card and call it income. Indiana has a balanced budget amendment that's just passed through the legislature that I believe closes all the loopholes that other states have used to overspend their means. And I think this is an important step towards enshrining fiscal discipline into our government over the long term.
Well, okay, and so what's the primary concern? Because I was looking at the Constitution online, and the one clause says, regarding state debt, no law shall authorize any debt to be contracted on behalf of the state except to meet casual deficits in revenue, pay interest on state debt, or repel invasion, suppress insurrection, or provide public defense if hostilities are threatened. So what you're saying is we have bonding mechanisms that can pay for capital projects, but you feel that the state powers between the governor and the legislature would spend beyond its mean? Has the state done that?
Yes, it has. Actually, not long after that language was put in the Constitution, it was challenged, and the specific language that was challenged is the word casual deficit. What's a casual deficit? Well, the courts found that it's whatever the legislature says it is, and during the late 1800s, there was such a divisive battle between the governor and the legislature, they were unable to pass a budget. The state became in such dire fiscal straits that the then governor took out a personal loan to keep the school for the blind open. Obviously, we would think that would be outrageous today, but at the time, the governor had the means.
Wait, when was this, and which governor?
I don't remember which governor off the top of my head, but it was mid to late 1800s. I think it was about 10 years after the passage of the initial amendment. And you're saying, well, why are you pointing back to something that happened so long ago? Well, we've had structural deficits even since I took office in 2000. But that was a particularly egregious example, and it happened right after the language was passed. And the courts tested it and said that, indeed, the legislature can spend more than it takes in, essentially rendering that language in the Constitution toothless.
All right. And so I noticed another part of the joint resolution addresses teacher pensions and actuarially sound practices.
That's correct. If you look at what's happened in Illinois, we all know that there is a tendency to look at the short-term satisfaction versus the long-term pain of making a decision, whether it's a financial issue or whether to go to Dunkin' Donuts. And we need a mechanism in place to require that long-term fiscal discipline. In Illinois' case, they made promises to pension recipients that they couldn't keep, they couldn't afford to keep, and now they are boxed in so they can't change it. So their choices are very limited. They can't tax their way out of their problem. They're bound by their constitution that they can't cut their way out of their problem, and they're in a fiscal death spiral. In this case, Indiana's balanced budget language would require us to make sure that our pension obligations are actuarially funded as part of our pension budget process, so that we can't steal from pension obligations to fund our short-term needs.
All right. And so I'm wondering, though, how in what way? I mean, if you put something in law, you're going to bind yourself in some aspect in the future. So we've got about a minute left. What would this do in terms of hamstringing the legislature potentially?
It may force the legislature to make tough choices at some point, and there is an escape hatch in which, if you have a large supermajority of the legislature and the governor agree, they can waive it temporarily. But obviously, you'd have to make a very strong case to the public to be able to do so. What it's going to do over the long term is force us to continue the fiscal discipline that we've exerted today. And the Constitution is the only mechanism by which we can bind a future legislature. I think this is very positive for the long-term fiscal health of Indiana.
All right, we'll leave it at that. Thank you very much, State Senator Brant Hirschman, Republican from Buck Creek here in Tippecanoe County. Good luck as you negotiate, as everyone negotiates, in the final weeks of this 2017 General Assembly.